Welcome back to Unravel Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Lovely Locks. And if you're listening to part two of our series, Healing the Soul, then that means you were inspired by part one. We know we started with talking about self-love and soul care. Today we're going deeper because healing doesn't stop with self. It flows into how we love others. This episode is all about love that heals, restoring romantic and family relationships through God's grace, emotional maturity, and spiritual alignment. And I'm blessed to have my guest, the incredible Ann Winbush, back with us. Her life speaks volumes: wife, mother, mentor, coach, and so much more. And today she's helping us navigate the love that lifts us and the love that breaks us. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Hi, welcome. I am so excited to be here yet again.
We're glad to have you. So we're gonna get right into the questions, kind of leaving off where we were at, just moving it from self to now we're focusing on our family. And how has healing impacted the way you love each other, others, especially your husband, your children, or your family?
My ability to allow God in to heal my soul. So when I say that, I'm talking about my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, and my imagination. The recorder that's up in my head, God was able to rearrange the furniture literally in my head to allow me to go from immaturity to maturity. And when we begin to walk in that type of love, first, because I understood that God loved me, led me to understanding because he loved me, I can now love myself. I can now forgive myself for every area that I let myself down in and the others let me down in too, okay? Because I had parents that were immature that may not have had the knowledge and information I had to start the healing process. And that's the other thing we have to understand. Everybody has a different starting point. And
Exactly.
so by me opening up in this generation, my husband and my children and the rest of my family have greatly been impacted by my ability to surrender to God and for me to understand what love really looks like. For me to understand if I'm able to forgive myself, I can now love my neighbor as I love myself. So if I'm forgiving myself, it means that I'm extending that olive branch to others. I'm learning that I'm not perfect. I always say it like this: you don't need to be perfect, but you need to be real and you need to be accountable. And so when we walk in true love, because we went through that healing process, we can now love others in that same manner. You will find yourself not excusing people, okay? But looking through life through a different lens because you're able to reframe things so you understand that person has had different experiences. They've had a different starting point. They process information different from you. And it just allows you to give this person more grace. You become tolerant of others because I'm remembering when other people, and still to this day, they tolerate me at times too, okay? I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
Yes.
And
Now,
so.
talking about family, when me and you first reconnected, I was not talking to nobody, pretty much. My kids, my grandma, my daddy was on his way out the door. And I mean, those prayers and just your kind words. And like you said, giving me the perspective to know that everybody don't process, everybody don't think the same way as you. So you can't like hold them to the same standard as yourself. And you could be wrong too. So you got meet in the middle somewhere and I'm just feeling like a whole different person. Like yesterday, something really bad happened that I usually would have, I'm talking about 7 Mile East Side popped off. Like, and I was just like, God, nope, not today. I just woo-saw and know that got home and was able to iron it out. And I'm getting all my things back anyway. And I would have did something dumb and put myself in a predicament. And that was a friendship gone wrong. So it's healing because I'm still torn about the friendship. And then you're doing other stuff on top of the fact that the friendship went awry out of nowhere. And I feel like I'm never going to be able to speak my piece, but guess what? I'm at peace with not being able to speak my piece. Because everybody, like it's just And before I would have been like, but I gotta get that. Nope, I don't gotta get the last word no more. God got the last word.
Wow, when that right there, we're talking about maturity.
Yes.
That is extreme growth right there. Letting go of the fight to be right, okay?
Even when
To
you know you're right.
because we have to remember, everybody has a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that's truly when we talk about that healing, you can tell like your growth level right there. Everything you just said. Commendable.
Yes.
Commendable. And it really reflects back to yourself, showing yourself respect, showing yourself love. Because I'm not about to get tied up and you having a bad day and you're gonna have all that spew on me. Nope, I'm gonna set my boundary, I'm gonna protect myself, and I'm gonna let you go do what you want to do.
Exactly. And Amazon will send me my packages again. So that's good that you said that was right where we're at, forgiveness and setting boundaries. How can someone who's experienced trauma, and betrayal, abuse, heartbreak, how do you trust again?
So, in order to unpack this, I have to share my testimony.
Go right ahead.
So, I get saved at 24 years old. I pick up the phone and I call my dad, the man who started sexually abusing me at 4 years old. Didn't stop until I was 10. I
Wow.
always felt icky around him, everything. But when I got saved, I got the courage. Courage Deep Within Me is one of my books, okay?
Yes.
And I picked up that phone and I called him and I said, "Dad, I forgive you." I said, "But what made you do that to me?" He's like, "I don't know. I mean, sometimes people just have feelings or desires." And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Okay, Dad, I forgive you." But I hung up that phone and I said, "He's dead to me."
Wow.
And I've only hated two people in my life, and he's one of them, okay? And hate is a strong word, and I mean every bit of that word.
Right.
I literally hated my dad.
Yes.
And so at 24, I'm like, I'm done. I said I forgive him, but I don't gotta forget. That's the saying, right? You can
Exactly.
forgive, but you don't have to forget. When I got 34, I'm on my way out of town. And my husband and I are going to New York. I'm leaving the salon, okay? Hairstylist to investor, y'all.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. God trained me in that salon, okay? The person you see right now is because he cultivated that. At look, 12 years old, I started doing hair. By the time I'm 14, I got a full client check, a full clientele, okay?
The
She know my cousin will tell y'all.
was slapping.
So at 34, I'm on my way out of town. I leave the salon at about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's snowing outside. I look down and there's something like orange or reddish coming through the snow. And I pick it up. It's a book. I'm like, wow, my friend was telling me about this book who worked in the salon too, Angelique. Shout out to her. And so it's called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. So mind you, I'm a busy person. I don't always have time, but I'm going out of town. So I use the airplane time, any other spare time to read this book. Oh boy, let me sum that book up. It tells me that all I need to do in order for to forgive my dad, because that was the subject of my hatred at the moment,
Yes.
all I gotta do is to pray for him as if I'm praying for my own self. Not, Lord, you need to fix him. I can't believe he would ever do that to me. How could he do? Nope. Father God, I bring my dad before you. He is the head, not the tail. He is above and not beneath. I decree and declare that he is wonderfully made, that you are the author and finisher of his faith. You know, just going to bat for him.
Wow.
I did that for 2 weeks, going deep, meaning from oozing from every part of my being. In this space right here, I'm telling you, I love you at the top of my lungs. I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I picked up the phone like, "Daddy, I love you." look my eye and I said, Daddy, I need you in my life. I know Satan influenced you. That's why you did that to me. Daddy, I love you. I just couldn't. It was so overwhelming. I'm screaming, shandalalanda, he going into tongues and everything. My auntie is into my iPad, rest her soul. I love my aunt. She said, I could hear her in the background because he used to live with my aunt. She said, what had gotten to that girl's butt? I said, Daddy, put her on the phone. Let me tell her what happened. Jesus! And I'm doing literally, Jesus! Right in this same space, okay? And I didn't even know I was going to even talk about this. I chose this space because I love life. And these green plants behind me represent life. Yeah. Even in my coaching business, my colors are green and white. Life and purity, okay? Healing. So, yes, when we talk about the process of forgiving, that's what it looks like. But it was at that point that it broke off. Mind you, the word of God says, if you won't forgive, God won't forgive you and your prayers are hindered, period.
Yes.
God only knew in the next months to come that two of my children's lives would be in jeopardy. So had I not forgiven my father, the prayers that I needed to go up would have been stifled. So we think walking in unforgiveness is hurting that other person when we're drinking a poison and everything around us is subject to die.
That is profound. For real.
But it's the truth. My children are suffering because I'm suffering and I'm broken. Because I won't forgive my father who is also suffering and he's broken. So the moment that I forgive him, which took a 10-year process, right? Yeah. From 24 to 34, a 10-year span where I finally say, Dad, I forgive you. Now I'm saying, God, what's next? Because reconciliation is not promised. So that's the thing when we talk about our family dynamics and family relationships, people, you can forgive somebody, but they can choose not to forgive you. They don't have to. And you don't, your forgiveness is not predicated on someone else's decision to forgive. When you decide, meaning cut away everything else, when you make that decision, because that's what it's all about, is making a decision first. Yes. That's it. How do I forgive? You decide. You make the decision to say, I forgive you. My dad's name is Ted. I forgive you, Ted Bindo Oliver.
I know that's right.
That's what and you'll be amazed how many people are not ready. And like I said in the other episode, if you're not ready, it's okay. It shows me that you don't love yourself. Because if you truly love you, like I said, you're going to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if I want God to forgive me, it means that I'm going to extend that love.
And so with forgiveness, I'm working on that right now. You know, I was a victim of a crime in 2020, and I was just contacted and was told this man is about to be released from prison. Well, from the psychiatric ward, the end of this month. And he's about to be 8 minutes away from me. Mm. I'm like, why are you telling me this? Y'all trying to send me to hell. But I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of his family members. I even tried to channel some of the joy his mother must be feeling that he's coming home.
Wow. But that's deep.
I feel all the pain that my dude's six kids don't have a daddy no more. So I'm trying to balance it. But I feel like chills all around me just talking about it. God know my heart. As people ask me, you know, where he at, what he look like, I'm not giving no information because I won't be an accomplice for one.
Right.
You won't put that on my soul. You know, he did what he did. He going to have to answer to God for that.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. The Bible says that the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Yes. The moment that we think we're going to go in and we're going to pay somebody back, that same seed that we sow, yes, we're going to reap the harvest of that. And so you have the right perspective. It's actually taking your energy and focusing it on and learning the lesson. That's the whole thing. No matter what we go through, we can reframe it. And
let me tell you this, because I don't know the Bible real deep and everything. This is what I was telling you about. God will put these messages in front of you. So I didn't even know this man was going to be released. But last week, I was thinking about Ronnie a lot, kind of missing him. And this reel came up that showed about Saul or somebody died and he was mourning for so long and he shouldn't have been mourning for so long. And it said pretty much for the amount of time this person was in your life, God knows exactly how much time you need to mourn. But not only that, hadn't this person been removed from your life, it would have been detrimental. So he did this with other intentions, and it's time for you to let it go. I'm talking about in the instant that I was thinking about, like, getting all weepy, I miss my man. I flipped on the phone, and that came right. I said, "Oh, shut up, dry the tears, and get up, clean up." Because he's
Wow.
speaking to me quick, you know, you can't even deny it no more. So,
Yes.
what generational patterns did you have to break?
So, one thing that I realized in that process, that generational curse of sexual abuse, sexual immorality, sexual perversion was deeply rooted in my family. And a lot of times in our culture, we say, let's keep things a secret, let sleeping dogs lie. We don't want to, did they really do it? Is she lying? So these are generational curses. When I began to rebuild, because I believe this wholeheartedly, you have to reveal to heal.
That's true.
When I began to reveal my journey, it gave other people permission to tell their stories in my family too. So I began to discover I wasn't the only one that had been sexually abused, but I was the first one that I know of to speak to my perpetrator to begin to forgive them and to begin to build a relationship. So reconciliation is a bonus. That's not a promise, okay? When we are walking in forgiveness. So that's how I was able to, and awareness. So I was able to teach my children because once again, I made a decision to reveal my pain, to reveal the trauma that I experienced so my children could avoid it. However, know this, parents that experience trauma, your children, even though they don't experience that particular incident, it's very difficult being raised by a mother who's been sexually abused. Because I talk about that sexual abuse, but I didn't talk about my cousins touching on me, the three date rapes I experienced, the six abortions that I had, because my moral compass was off. By the time I was 14, I had already slept with 50 men. At Hermer Kiefer, y'all don't know about it. It was a sexually transmitted disease treatment center. And I was there every weekend, okay?
Lord, with
Okay.
the brown paper bag.
Okay. And
We
I
live
don't
and we
know any,
learn.
yeah, I don't know any better because this is what I'm introduced to, so I think it's normal. Even though deep down inside at the age of 14, I'm like, something ain't right. But I can't put my finger on it.
And you would never know because you held it together. And you know, with me coming over, you know, I'm from the east side. Y'all lived on the north end. Like I said, you had that living room slapping. I just looked up to you like, this is my beautiful cousin. She do dance. I think she was like a ballet or modern dance or something. She whipping the hair up. I'll be saving my pennies and my coins. I'm going to get my hair done. You know what I'm saying? So I never knew. And so even into adulthood in our 20s, I took something personal that now I understand because I wanted to have a closer relationship with your brother's kids. And I asked could they spend a night over my house. And he damn near went off on me one day. I was like, wow. But see, I didn't know that that had been experienced. So now it's understandable. I just felt like, I really thought everybody in our family thought I was like ghetto and that's why your kids could be around me. And I'm like, but now I see it. So sometimes you make things about yourself that it ain't even about you.
Wow, that brings everything home what we were talking about, an immature person and a mature person
Yes.
being able to reflect back and know whatever that person just said to me is not, it's not always about you.
Yes.
It's really a lot of times where their starting point, and we don't know to look at me on the outside, like you said, I had low self-esteem. Nobody ever knew it. I mean, I hated myself, but
Wow.
my actions reflected that. So, and we can hide stuff. As humans, we can hide stuff.
That's true. How do you model healthy love and communication to your children and those that you mentor? Rock, I can attest for, man, this lady hugged me so tight, told me I am worthy, and I ain't looked back since.
You know how I model it is showing vulnerability, being transparent, walking in forgiveness, being accountable when I mess up, making sure that I look. I just did this last week. My daughter was sharing some information with me, and I'm telling her, you know, this and that. The moment I hung up for her, from her, Holy Spirit checked me and said, you're projecting your fears on your child.
Wow.
I had to call my daughter back and apologize to her because, as parents or just family, period, they're giving you advice because they want to protect you.
Yes.
They want to keep you safe, for the most part. I'm not saying every family member is like that. Okay, let me be clear. Nothing that I'm saying is absolute. I live an absolute life because these principles and how I flow, it works for me. So nothing is absolute. God deals with us all in a different way. But for me, God told me, I'll never forget it, down here in this bathroom, he gave me scriptures and he told me to ask, literally out of the Bible, ask me questions. Okay. The scriptures had question marks at the end. And at the end of that, it was like, get to it, teach your children my word. He like, what are you doing with your time?
Wow.
And it was in that season that I began to teach my children God's word, sitting right at this table in here. And our family was getting pounded. My son ends up having brain surgery. My oldest daughter have a skip day, okay, and have all these kids up in my house. She recorded doing. And the school calling me. I'm at work, mind you. I
Wow.
said, what happened? When? Are
Hard
you?
house.
I could not. I was still finding underwear from months later in my basement.
Girl,
And
no.
the thing about it is, you all, I was sitting in my bed and I'm like, I cannot believe this happened. God told me to go get my notebook because, and that's the importance of journaling. Okay, if we don't journal with writing down the date and the time, we'll miss it. So Holy Spirit said, go get your Bible, go get the note. Now I got many Bibles up there, but I knew what the Holy, because that's what relationship does. Relationship connects you in a way that you can finish the other person's sentences, right? So
Exactly.
when you get a relationship with God, it's the same thing. I knew what all these notes I have. But I knew what note he was talking. He said, I'm gonna decode that whole thing because 3 years earlier, he told me on a piece of paper, woke me up late at night. I'm downstairs praying, calling my brother, sister, mother, even my husband. I'm like, this thing is so strong, it wouldn't break off. Until I got to my husband, that thing broke off. So 3 years prior, I did all that. He said, 3 years payback, somebody else's mistakes. You don't have an option. You don't have a choice. So I forget about it. 3 years payback, somebody else's mistake, subtle. This thing don't mean nothing. I don't understand anything this paper is saying. Folded it up, stuck it in my Bible. That's the paper he goes to give me. He said, I'm gonna decode all this to you. He said, and 3 years payback for your own iniquities. Your own sins is falling on your daughter, and you don't have a choice. He said,
Girl,
but your prayers.
I got chills again.
But listen, he said, your obedience and your prayers saved your daughter's life. Now I'm gonna tell y'all this, and this Holy Spirit downloading it to me right now. That 3 year process that I'm telling you all about, that was 2008. I had just got married. It was 2011. October 13th is when I wrote the paper. October 10th of 2011 is when the incident happened. October 27th of 2011 is when God woke me up with a dream, and I went through that process to forgive my dad immediately. My prayers were held up.
Wow.
But because of my obedience, October 27, 2011, my daughter was saved.
That's wonderful.
I'm telling y'all.
Yes, God got some. You need
All
your own podcast, and we gotta go. I gotta come over there and set you up, girl. You got too many jewels and gems to just be a guest over here. You need to be a host. The host is the most.
you
So
know what? I'm gonna let y'all do this part. And I'm gonna go and do my part and teach
yes.
and share. And that's what Coach Ann is all about. It's about sharing what God has taught me, what He has poured into me, and it's time for me to give it out.
That's wonderful. Well,
Yeah.
podcast is a good platform where you can do it, and you don't have to do all the technical stuff. There's studios you can go and just talk and
Yeah.
record it and then upload it. But I'll plug you with that later. You know me, even my networking self.
Yes, I love it. Thank you, cousin.
You're welcome. Relationships will stretch you, they'll grow you. Sometimes they'll hurt you. But when rooted in healing and God's truth, it can become one of the most powerful tools on the earth. And Anne reminded us today that healthy love requires healed hearts. So this is it for episode two of our healing series. Don't forget, we're going to have a journal, self-prop journal that will accompany this series. You can get that on Amazon. Follow me on Unravel Radio underscore on Instagram. And part three is coming up next. We're shifting gears and talking about how healing affects business, leadership, and purpose. Because God didn't just create you to survive, He created you to lead and thrive. So stay tuned, stay healthy, and stay unraveled.